Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues each and every day. I pray that you are edified, encouraged, challenged, and educated on issues that affect us all. And as we view the issues, as we look at the issues, as we discuss the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I've said time and time again, and may I say, even at the risk of redundancy on this broadcast, that as we face the issues, we do not base it on political, ideological bent. We do not base our issue discussion on a denominational dogma. We do not base it on a philosophical rhetoric. We base the discussion squarely on, thus saith the Word of God. I call it having a central biblicist worldview, and I commend that to you. And I've had some to ask, well, what does it mean, a central biblicist worldview? It simply means that everything that we see, everything that's taking place, and especially, listen, ladies and gentlemen, as we see the world coming unglued around us, as we see the foundations of America being eviscerated from under us, as we watch the things taking place on the face of the globe today, we go back to the scripture and we see God has already forewarned us. God has already predetermined and told us exactly what is going to take place based on the authority of His Word. So, ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to frighten us. It ought not to scare any human being under the sound of my voice. We ought not to be afraid, but we need to recognize that God's hand is upon us and God's hand is at work bringing about exactly what He said. We're talking about today a very serious subject. Famine in the land. Now, I know that some will say that's a scare tactic. Some will remonstrate that you're just talking about something that's negative. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what we've done in America, especially in American churches today and American preaching today, we've so watered down our theology and our doctrine and our biblical preaching that we're simply pampering everyone in the pews and we're not warning them of the danger ahead. But I'm here to tell you, based on the authority of Scripture, there is a danger that's looming heavily upon us and over the globe, and it's called famine. Famine in the land. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a little small element, perhaps, that you might say. It is an element that is small and almost forgotten text in the Bible, but in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, "Behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, that I," God speaking, "I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not of the thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a twofold famine in the land today. Number one is a famine of the word, and secondly, a famine of food, a famine of bread. And we're watching today, listen carefully, we're watching today, we're stepping into the very threshold of the future that is before us, of days that our nation has never experienced. I know that sounds alarming, and I intend for it to, because I want to get your attention today, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in a very, very different position than we've ever been in the history of the United States of America. More so than ever in our history, we're watching today the famine of the word, and we're stepping into the famine, that is the shortages of everything that we need to survive as a nation. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. And as we speak about these issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no better sense of truth than going to the word of God. As we look at the word of God and see what God's word says to us, we need to understand that it's the truth book. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that ought to be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway. Psalms 119:105. But ladies and gentlemen, without the truth of the word of God, we're walking blind. Without the truth of the word of God, we're delving into the area of society that we're entering into today, blindly, not understanding the dangers ahead, the bends in the road and the bridges that are out. We're not recognizing those if we do not know the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Truth is what we're talking about. Truth ought to be the mindset, the heartbeat of every Christian, every conservative, every child of God today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me just read you one of the more poignant paragraphs in this two-page article from former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. He says, truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of the Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. He further states in this article, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is barred in most cultures and most settings in America. In fact, if you don't believe that, try to put something that is truth on Facebook. If you don't believe that is what I'm speaking of is truth, try to place an article on Twitter or on Instagram or any of the other social media platforms. If it is true about the election of 2020, that it was stolen, if it's true about the fact that we were lied to about COVID, if it is true about the fact that we're seeing hundreds of thousands die in America and millions around the globe as a result of the COVID vaccine, if it is true, and that is, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, true, try to post that on any social media, and you'll find that it will be rejected, and you will be put in Facebook jail, or as one of my sons calls it, fascist book jail. And that's exactly what is happening today in barring truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly true today, if I can use that as a twist on the terms. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I say to you today, that's exactly what we need to focus on is truth. Now, I'm not talking about focusing on political correctism. I'm not talking about that we need to focus on the woke culture today and the cancel culture. By the way, I don't know where they ever got the term woke, because those that are supposed to be woke today, it's evident as you listen to them, as you talk with them, as you hear the Communist Network News talking to these woke cancel culture gurus, you find that they're not woke at all. In fact, they're asleep. They're dumb as a rock when it comes to truth being known. And nevertheless, they're looked at as being woke. We have woke culture. We have a woke corporate entity. We have a woke president. We have a woke generation today as the woke culture on the Communist Network News would have us to understand. But ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the fact that we need to stand for truth. We need to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even if it means our very lives. And by the way, I believe our culture that we're in, we're rapidly coming to the point in America. Yes, in America, we're rapidly arriving at the point that we will be persecuted, prosecuted, and convicted if we stand on the truth. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, Department of Justice, he has already determined that we the people, we the conservatives, we the Christians, those parents that stand before the boards of education and challenge them about the sodomite lifestyle being taught to our kids and the critical race theory being taught to our kids in school, Merrick Garland's decided that we, if we voted for Trump, if we're Republicans, if we're conservatives, that we are the domestic terrorists. And that's going to exponentially increase during the next few years in relationship to the Biden administration. Now, albeit, I believe that Joe Biden will not be in office. Somebody else will take his shoes. And I'll talk about that later, but I believe that's on the horizon even now. But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand equipment like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, the full line of Honda generators, and Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes have asked, how do I find Tools for Time? Tools for Time is located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful, wonderful benchmark 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Based on that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring in all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment. It is a business where they are closed on Sunday, allowing its employees to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God would have it to be done. So, ladies and gentlemen, drop by 11291, Tools for Time. Go by 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, Tools for Time at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview appointment and see what God does as far as placing you in a position where you can work in an environment where you can be off on Sunday, worship with your family on Sunday, a family-friendly environment. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about famine in the land. The lines are open. The telephone number is 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. As the lines are open, we invite your call. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue today. We're talking about famine in the land. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a twofold famine. It's a famine of the word, and it's a famine of food, clothing, and shelter. We're on the very precipice of entering into a society in America where you cannot buy the grocery items that you need. Where you will not be able to buy the products that you need to even put clothes on your back. We're rapidly approaching that era in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a day when God's word is not being preached. Most churches today are standing in the world and not on the word. They're dependent upon the world and not on the word of God. Our nation, our world, ladies and gentlemen, today is in desperate need for truth. The truth of God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, we see the great falling away, the great apostasy. All that was, all that it took to increase this apostasy was to have the churches shut down and obeying the government. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you an article that sets the pace for where we're going. Then we'll take our first caller. Here's a large headline. Lawmakers are scrambling to avert a global food shortage. Now, I didn't make that up. I didn't come up with some conspiracy theory and say this. It's a fact. It's dated April the 5th. Leaders around the world are prepping solutions to the problem of an expected global food shortage that will get worse as the days approach. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has significantly disrupted the international trade of crops used to produce those items that's needed, from pasta to wheat, and on it goes. Knowing along with Russia as the breadbasket of Europe, Ukraine and its neighbors produce more than a quarter of the wheat supply that's used for the entire, world, one-fourth of it, ladies and gentlemen, coming out of Ukraine. This article says, in normal times, Russia exports more wheat than any other country. Sanctions have complicated Russia's ability to access global markets. However, and the conflict has threatened Ukraine's ability to harvest its wheat this year. Biden administration officials acknowledge that this conflict will cause famine and crisis around the world. The White House Council Advisor Chairwoman Cecilia Rouse said Friday the famine is a big concern and that the United States has explored offering humanitarian aid to countries in the Middle East, Africa, and Asia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, not only do we have a famine of the word, but we're entering in today with a famine of grocery products and things to eat and clothing to wear and petrol to go in the gas tanks and even automobiles to drive. I believe we have John on the line. John, go over to the question or comment, please.
Chuck, young boy, thank you for your ministry. I've been out of town for a week, and it's great getting back to hearing everything that you're telling us about. You know, I'm riding along, it's like, and I've got a Bluetooth, so I've got both of my hands on the steering wheel. But it's like when you look at everything that's happening, and it's so prolific, it's so widespread, can be our Disney, it can be the teachers, it can be prosecutors, it can be people in government, it can be people in any kind of a profession. How can they all be feeling and thinking these things that they are, that are so bizarre, that it has to be something within the spiritual realm? It can't be anything from some solid book or something like that. It's got to be something that's actually within us that's creating this unbelievable situation that we're witnessing right now. So it's got to be a God thing to be able to overcome this, because, like I said, it's so prolific. It's everywhere. And it's like, how can people believe that all animals that I'm aware of and that are created, there is a male and there is a female? So where do you get to the point to where, wait a second, no, I wasn't born the right person? Well, there's only a male and a female, so there's no errors to that, other than when man becomes his own God, then he can do whatever he wants to do and call himself whatever he wants to call himself and have whatever surgery to change himself, because he made himself his own God. But even in that, that's a spiritual thing, that there is a dark spirit that's controlling these people. And we're supposed to pray for people. We're supposed to pray even for President Biden and Kamala Harris and all that kind of stuff. We're supposed to pray for them that they'll accept Christ and they'll go from their evil, wicked ways. But still, they're duped, almost possessed in a way, I guess you could say. I know it talks about that, I think, in 2 Corinthians, where the prince of this world has blinded them. And then what is it in Isaiah? Talks, I think 5:20. It talks about how the good is called what, evil.
Evil is called good, and good is called evil. That's where we are today. And John, you're exactly right. It is a demonic spirit that permeates all of society today, and especially those in leadership roles across the globe. They are absolutely dominated by the evil spirit. They are absolutely obsessed with doing something to eviscerate and to wipe out the foundations that's called the Judeo-Christian belief system in America. And it's the Biden administration, which is an offshoot of the Obama administration, working together with the globalists that are wanting to absolutely destroy the United States of America. And so, as you said, it will take something other than just man's thinking. And it is very, very clear in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. And it's talking about the demonic world that is within the world that we're living in today. And it's the demons that are possessing the minds, the hearts, and the bodies of those that we have put in position of leadership for us. And it's in the U.S. House that Jerry Nadler, just a few months back, said that God's word has no place in the U.S. Congress, in the House of Representatives. And that's the mindset in Washington. And unfortunately, that's the mindset in much of those in public office. And yes, I'm in agreement with you. The scripture is very, very clear. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, that we're to pray for the kings and the princes and the potentates and the prime ministers and the preachers and the presidents, that is, around the world, that we're to pray for those that are over us. And I do. And I pray God somehow, some way save them, but in the meantime, remove them before they destroy our nation. And I believe that's the kind of definitive prayer that we need to have as a people, because the scripture says in that text in First Timothy, second chapter, verse 2 and following, that you might live a quiet and peaceable life. And so if Christians are going to live a quiet and peaceable life, we need to pray that God will intervene and remove this demonic spirit that's among those that are leading our nation. But John, one of the things that is so sad that I see is where God's word tells in Amos, and it was talking about in the context and the setting in Amos, where it said there'd be a famine of the word. That was talking about one day when they would go into bondage and captivity, they would have a hunger and a desire for the word, but the word would not be there. And I take that scripture, and in application today, we're going to get to the point and place in America where there's a hunger for the real word of God. And I'm not talking about a hunger for cotton candy theology, our voodoo theology, our goosebump theology, and all of that's being preached today from most pulpits. I'm talking about a hunger for the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. There's that famine of the word, and that's bad enough, but it's as a result of the famine of the word that brings about the famine that we're on the very threshold of food, clothing, and shelter in America. So, John, you're right. There is a major, major problem, and that is a demonic issue. And we need to keep praying that God will intervene and deliver us before it's too late as a nation. But John, brother, thank you so much for your call, for your input, for your insight. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. John, thank you so much. Have a blessed day. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Wonderful. I pray that you are.
Doing well, doing well. You were talking about the famine and I'm assuming that you're talking about in the context of the end days and Revelation, that famine and pestilence would be throughout the entire world before the coming of Jesus Christ in the tribulation.
Matthew 24, verse 5 and following, yes.
Yes, sir. The famine that from some of the things that I've been reading because of what's occurring in this administration there, I don't know if you've read about this yet, but there is a shortage of ammonia nitrate fertilizers there, and it's almost quadrupled in price. I've been reading numbers along the lines of farmers used to pay $200 an acre, and this coming season, that's almost at $2,000 an acre. And if you sit
Correct.
Down and you look at that amount of money, that cost has to be passed on. So with God and his son, Jesus Christ, always being in control, I'm wondering if this is his here you go, America. And we're going to see that in this coming fall upon the processing of the current, planting season that is now occurring, and how that's going to affect us here. And Joe Biden has already publicly stated that there was going to be a shortage. And then, of course, as you alluded to, the Ukraine being the breadbasket. If you look at it historically, look up the events that occur between 1920 and 1930. I think they call it the Holodorm, where the Soviet Union aggregated all of the farmland into communal properties there and seized all of the crops to create a man-made famine. And we're looking at something that could very quickly become something similar because of our government's inattention And I'd like to say one more thing to your audience as well. I've always heard this phrase, 9 meals away from anarchy there. You want to bring down or bring social chaos, deprive a population of food. They will
absolutely
do anything to get that back.
And, Jim, we're on the fast track for that. And none of this, listen, none of what we're seeing today with the shortages came about as happenstance or something that was just a luck of the draw, so to speak. It's all orchestrated, planned, and carried out. Listen very carefully, Jim, not only to Jim, but to the ladies and gentlemen that are tuned in today. You know, one of the things that Biden did was to cut the SWIFT, S-W-I-F-T, that's an acronym for the Global Internet Banking Connectivity, cut the Russians out of the SWIFT net so that they could not transmit funds or get funds through the banking around the globe. As a result of that, now Russia said that any of the European nations that buy all products from them would have to do so with the ruble. That's cutting out the petrodollar. The petrodollar is what has kept the U.S. dollar, the U.S. currency, afloat since 1972. Those petrocurrency dollars now being cut out, and the Saudi Arabia had already said they're going to cut the petrodollars out and start going with Chinese on the Yuan system or the Wang system. And now here's Russia going to the non-petrodollars, that is the ruble they will be using. And all of Europe will have to convert their U.S. dollars to the which were the petrodollars. They'll have to convert those to the ruble in order to buy oil from Russia, or freeze to death, or scorch because they have no way of cooling or heating or cooking. And now that's already been put into place. So what that's doing is crushing the American dollar, and the Biden administration could not, it's an impossibility for them not to have foreseen the potentiality of Russia doing that as a response of what they have done as a nation to Russia. So it's been orchestrated. I believe it's planned, and it's part and parcel of the removing the foundation of America and destroying the American currency so that they can introduce the Fed coin, which is an online e-currency, and then in doing so will absolutely confiscate all of the savings accounts and all of the retirement accounts, 401ks, etc., of all American citizens that have worked hard and put money aside for some type of savings. They will confiscate that and utilize that to balance the budget, and it's all part and parcel of taking America into the socialist Marxist regime of communism that's being planned by Joe Biden and the Biden cabal. And as we see that happening, Jim, we need to understand that there will be a major shortage of all products. Right now, the semiconductors that allow the manufacturing of automobiles, right now I'm looking at an article that says the supply chain hits Ford and Chevy hard. Automakers are forced to stop making some of the American cars. They're closing down several of the American plants, Ford and General Motors. They're reducing the number of vehicles they're trying to make because right now in the manufacturing plants of all of the automobiles, they have thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of vehicles that they cannot roll out and put in the market to sell because of the semiconductor shortage. It's as a result of China and Russia ceasing to export those to America. So we're watching a manufactured, if I can use that point in pun, a manufactured shortage that will undermine and destroy America and bring us into the greatest famine that America has ever witnessed. It would absolutely make the 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33, the Great Depression. It will make that Great Depression, in my most humble opinion, look like a child's picnic. So, Jim, it's going to require the prayer on part of Christians. It's going to take the part of Christians and conservatives and patriots to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and for preachers to grow a spine and preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring into the full picture in that presentation from the pulpits of what's happening on a global basis with real-life things that's talked about in the Scripture rather than that pablum that's been given by so many preachers today. Jim, thank you for your input. Keep on looking up, brother. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute top-of-the-hour news break. And after the one-minute top-of-the-hour news break, we're coming back. We're talking about famine in the land. And it's a twofold famine, a famine of the word and a famine of food, clothing, and shelter. And we're going to get into some minutia and minute details of some of this famine that's taking place and what it's going to do to the average home, to the average household, to the average business, to the average church in America. It's not something that's out there on the horizon that may be 10 years from now. It's on the doorsteps of America today. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.